You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. On today's She Leads Tech Series podcast, we're joined by Simone Papone, Head of Growth and Partnerships at Get Better Inc. Thank you so much for being with us today on the Isaka Podcast, Simone.
Thank you for having me.
All right, to get started, what prompted your interest in diversity within the tech workforce?
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit of a funny story. I just jumped into the tech industry maybe a little over 3 years ago, close to 4 years now. I have a background in healthcare, and as you know, healthcare is majority women, and I had a lot of great mentors in healthcare. And when I jumped into the tech industry kind of nose first with a startup idea, I kind of ran into my first ever kind of discrimination situation, and it actually was from another woman. It wasn't from a man. I had met a director level woman who mentored and helped new startup founders kind of find their way in building their companies. I had met her at a networking event, and the interaction between the two of us was kind of a shock for me because I've never run into a woman who belittled other women so badly. And so my first interaction in the tech industry was kind of bad. The bad part was from another woman. And so 3 months later, I had got invited to an all-women's showcase event to show off our tech products and services that we were working on. And the environment there was actually so much different from my first interaction. What happened there was I met so many women who were very empowering, very intelligent, just so open to helping each other. And so I left that event thinking, why can't this be everyone's first interaction? Why can't this environment be every woman's first interaction when she does jump into the tech industry? And so that sparked my women's group in the tech industry that I created on Meetup, which has about over 2,500 women in there now. From that point on, I began to run my own events. I began to work with other tech companies to, you know, execute their diversity and inclusion initiatives for women. And that was the first thing that whole encounter was the first situation that prompted all of this work that I do for diversity in the tech force.
From some of your interactions with women in tech, what are some of the common concerns or frustrations that come up that need to be worked through and addressed?
Well, there's so many. I would, just to name a couple, I would say the first one is technical opportunities, right? There's not a lot of technical opportunities offered to women. I mean, there's all these initiatives and programs that are being created for women, for our mothers, trying to close this gap. But yet the follow through with a lot of those programs still are very minimal. Making it available, but then actually giving that opportunity to women is still very minimal. It's the same with funding too. There's been a lot of concerns around women not having access to funding, especially female founders not having access to funding. And so a bunch of VCs in the area have decided to create programs and initiatives geared towards women to begin these conversations. And so you get your foot in to have a conversation, but yet there's still no straight follow through to the end, to where we can actually be in a position to pitch, where we can actually be in a position not only to be pitched, to pitch our companies, but then to also get proper feedback of, hey, if this is wrong, you wouldn't fund it. What are the things I need to change? And then after that, even a follow through of like, I've changed it. Can I bring it back and repitch to you and see where this goes? There's still a lot of those concerns, even the concerns of, you know, sexism, a lot of the isms that exist against women in the tech force. But I think I would say the biggest two that I continue to see are the opportunities in technical training and then the opportunities for female founders in terms of funding.
What are your theories on why these hurdles are so prevalent?
I would have to say that right now, because I'm in the SF Bay Area, I've been here about 14 years, it's still a mentality that's stuck in a lot of leaders still have to unlearn. We do this thing at my company sometimes where when we're testing campaigns, we'll test in two different voices, a male voice and a female voice, same message. But for some reason, it's always the male voice that gets more conversion versus the female. I guess it's also not just kind of a Bay Area thing. It's a cultural type of society thing where we are more prone to respond to the male voice versus the females. So we see that even here in funding, where, which I've seen quite a few times and known probably a couple of women who this has happened to, where they do have male co-founders, they spit the same pitch, yet they don't get the same questions, and it's their male counterpart that gets a second meeting, but not them. I think it's just a process that we have to continue to unlearn and continue to point out when it does happen, for people to be aware, because that's one of the things, that not everybody is aware of their actions, whether they are intentional about it or not. There's not a lot of self-awareness and not a lot of people currently pointing it out when it does happen.
When it comes to men in the tech workforce, do you find that building awareness of these challenges is still the biggest hurdle? Or is it more motivating them to act in support of their female colleagues?
I would say it is the awareness of these challenges. I mean, just within the past few years, a lot of things have happened in media that has caused more men to be aware of what is happening. You know, the Me Too movement, when that whole social media frenzy went on, where women were posting hashtag Me Too so that people could know that they, you know, at some point in their life, that happened to them. That was the first time so many of my male friends were like, wow, I didn't know how many women this affected that I knew. You know, you see it in the news, but you don't really think who it affects in your circle. And so that is the first thing. Not a lot of men are aware. I wouldn't say so much that they're oblivious, but, you know, men do have more of an advantage. So you kind of just forget that maybe there are other people that are affected in certain ways that you aren't. And so pointing that out and making them aware is the first step to kind of overcoming this challenge and moving towards action.
Do you think those types of conversations tend to be productive and lead to constructive action?
I believe that they're productive and lead to a conversation. I don't necessarily believe they lead to action right away. I've had plenty of conversations since a lot of different stories have come out in the media, where, and companies being put on the spot about, you know, their diversity statistics and whatnot, and having the whole gap in gender pay and whatnot. So the conversations are great. It makes people more aware, but it's positive because they are talking, but it's also not positive because all they're doing is talking, not so much putting in action items, creating plans to close like these open gaps.
What are some of the most effective ways for men to help champion their female colleagues in the tech workforce?
I actually am writing an article about this same topic for an online magazine for women in tech. So I'm just going to borrow what I say from my article and share it here. I actually noted three things that men can do to champion their fellow colleagues. The first one is sharing their project achievements. So women, especially myself being Asian American, we don't talk a lot about our achievements. We do our work and we move on to the next one, right? Also, there's I worked with Google, and there's a really high statistic around women and self-promotion skills and not being able to self-promote themselves to get that promotion or raise. So one of the first things that men can do is champion fellow colleagues by acknowledging and sharing their project achievements. If they led a great big initiative within the company and somebody's talking about it, a leader is noticing it, share that it was your female colleague. Share that it was this person by name who did it and achieve it. The second part to that is stop standing by when credit goes to a man, but the credit is due to a female colleague. We see this a lot. Women do great things. They give great ideas, but yet it's not heard, or it's not heard until it's in a male's voice. So standing by and letting other men take credit for it, or standing by in silence and just letting the credit go to somebody else, even though you know that the praise belongs to your female colleague, that's another action step that you can do, because it helps when you do say their names, when you do compliment and praise their work, especially in the eyes of a leader, because they start to notice. They start to notice the women in your work environment. They start to think about, hey, maybe this project can go to that person. Maybe they deserve a raise or a promotion because of the work that they've been doing and achieving. Which leads me to my third action for men to champion women, is suggest us for projects in the pipeline. If we're not placed in meetings that you believe we should belong in. Not our names aren't put in the hat for like a project that you know we can accomplish and do very well. Why not suggest your female fellow colleague, even if her name hasn't been brought up, even if, you know, leadership never thought to think of this person, but you know they're capable. Why not suggest her name in the hat and say, hey, she's done these projects, she can accomplish this. Why not consider her for it? You know, those are three different ways that men can champion their female colleagues in the tech workforce. Because as we know, the more projects and things that we can do and achieve, the more we are talked about our work, the more notice we are given and chances for a raise and a promotion.
Many women in tech are looking for mentors or role models. Do you consider it to be important whether those mentors are men or women?
Yeah, I think it's important to have both. Just for myself, I have multiple mentors. It's not just to have a mentor that's a man and a woman. It's actually, I have mentors for every part of kind of the industry. I have a female mentor to empower me on women leadership, you know, things, those hurdles, those issues, how to work with other women, how to build events and workshops and things for women. But I also have female leadership who just empowers me and mentors me as a leader in the tech industry. I even have men who do both, you know, I have male mentors who do teach me kind of how to navigate this industry where there is that whole gender gap of things and how it's just still a little hard for women to break into different areas. I believe it's important to have both. I don't think that people should have both because they need to have one male, one female mentor to, you know, meet the quota of your mentors. I believe you pick and choose your mentors based on what you need help with in the tech industry. So I have both male and female mentors, advisors who champion me, but also teach me things in how to either improve my leadership, how to learn new skill sets or be connected to certain people so that I can have better opportunities for professional growth, more opportunities to connect to build better initiatives and execute better initiatives, things like that. When women are looking for mentors, in the workforce, it's important to have both. It doesn't matter which you should have, whether you should only stick to women because you're a female in the tech industry, or go for a male who can champion you because you're a female. And there's so many inequalities in the industry. I think it's important to have both, and you choose the person as your mentor based on your professional needs, your career needs. You know, I choose a lot of my mentors based on leadership, D&I initiatives, all the things that I'm passionate about learning in the tech world and growing into. That's how I choose my mentors.
Wrapping up, if you had to project forward 10, 15 years down the line, do you think there will be major progress made when it comes to the gender gap in professions like cybersecurity and other technology-driven fields? What has to happen for it to play out that way?
I say yes in between 10 to 15 years. I say yes because one of the major things that needs to happen is to have a major leader step up and lead by example to close, you know, one of these gaps. And we had that this year. So I don't know if you saw in the media, Mark Benioff, I'm pretty sure everybody knows who he is, chairman of Salesforce. He did that whole media 60-minute segment where he assumed everything was peachy keen within his company, that everybody was getting equal pay, men and women were being paid equally no matter the role they were in and department they were in. But when they ran an actual audit, they saw the gap between men and women, even though they were in the same role. And so he took the initiative to adjust that and level all of the employees' salaries. And I believe the statistic was that more than 10% of the women in Salesforce got bigger paychecks because of it. And that makes me very hopeful for the future, especially the next, you know, 10 to 15 years, because you have a major leader who has stepped up and is leading by example. And I believe, you know, that's really what it takes. We have a lot of employees from the bottom up creating advocate groups, creating internal groups to help, you know, push out D&I initiatives and just equal things out, but it doesn't really do the full effect unless a major leader steps in and leads by example and actually follows through, like Mark Benioff. The fact that he's done it with Salesforce, and Salesforce brings in, like, I believe they have an annual revenue of like $10 billion, that just means I'm hopeful that it'll be a ripple effect to other big companies to run audits and see where the gap is, to kind of, you know, accept that, hey, your company does have this pay gap between men and women, and how are you going to address it? So I'm hopeful because he did that, and I believe a lot of other leaders will follow suit in the next 10 to 15 years. We may not get all of them following suit in the next 10 to 15 years, but I'm hopeful we might see another 2 to 3 big tech companies do the same thing, run an audit, and provide equal pay in all of these tech fields.
All right, great. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with the ISACA podcast audience.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about this stuff, so I'm so grateful for the invitation.
For more on ISACA's She Leads Tech program, visit www.sheleadstech.isaca.org.